This hour of the Jason Rand Show brought to you by PRMIseattle.com, Primary Residential Mortgage. Lots of news is happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? A Jason Rant exclusive.
A fully vaccinated Seattle Police Department suffered nearly 20% of its staff contracting COVID in just the first 21 days of this year. 21 days, and you have nearly 20% of a fully vaccinated police force coming down with COVID, having to be taken off the streets. Or, I mean, I guess we shouldn't presume there are hospitals who are forcing people who have symptomatic COVID to actually work. King County, Seattle, Washington State all had the same vaccine mandate. They were not going to accommodate for tests or just simply wearing a mask. You get vaccinated or you get fired. Why? The reason behind it. In this case, this was from Seattle mayor at the time, Jenny Durkan. The reason behind it is you get vaccinated and you're protecting folks from catching COVID. We don't want you spreading COVID in public. We don't want you spreading COVID amongst your coworkers. This is for the safety, health, and well-being of everybody. It was a permanent solution to a problem that is evolving. The problem being COVID. More specifically, Omicron, which evades the vaccine. That's why so many people who are vaccinated caught COVID. That's why 20% of an already depleted Seattle Police Department staff caught COVID. And now, of course, there's some panic. It's starting to set in. There's concern. You have record low numbers of deployable staff in Seattle. Mid-800s to low 900s, depending on the day. That's the number of deployable staff right now available to the city of Seattle, a city that's dealing with rising crime, violent crime, a city that needs somewhere between 1,400 and 1,600 officers. Again, depending on who you ask. But even if we were to go with that low number of 1,400, that folks within the city, like the new mayor, Bruce Harrell, says is about their goal, meaning that's where we feel comfortable. We're far from that, aren't we? It was so dramatic that in just 10 days, from January 11th through January 21st, the SPD saw 114 vaccinated officers out with COVID. This is according to an internal memo. We talked about it a little bit on Friday. Now, according to a separate memo, one that came out on Friday, Interim Chief Adrian Diaz confirmed that, quote, nearly 20% of the department tested positive for COVID during the month of January alone, and dozens of officers are unavailable to work. The current state of Seattle policing, we were told about 2 weeks ago by SPOG President Mike Solon, the current state of Seattle police staffing is off the charts dangerous for our community. So one might be able to reasonably infer that when Omicron sidelined so many officers, we're in more trouble now. We're in more danger now. Diaz wrote, because the Omicron variant is so easily spread, the city is providing medical-grade face coverings for all employees. It's weird. So that protects against COVID, but not when it's worn by someone who's unvaccinated? Huh. It's odd. It's a magical mask. I mean, the mask is even discriminating against people who aren't vaccinated against COVID. That's, I mean, is that maybe that's a smart mask?
Like a smartphone, but
yeah,
a smart
right?
mask?
Yeah.
It can tell.
Big masks taking over.
He said, please get yours and please wear it. We can't afford to have any more people get sick. Well, more people are getting sick. What do you mean you can't afford it? What he should have said is we can't afford to have any more officers off the force. Unfortunately, our former mayor pushed a whole bunch of people off the force, some of whom are still in the process of getting fired, but not yet officially fired. They will be, or they'll just be kept sidelined until they get rid of the vaccine mandate and then invited back to work. This was, of course, this was always a bad policy before even Omicron. But Omicron really, really makes it clear how bad things are and how bad of a policy this was to begin with. It couldn't be any more obvious that this vaccine mandate was a total failure. Do you think anyone walks the mandate back? Do you think anyone even says, hey, you know what? We're concerned about the numbers too. And, you know, given the new circumstances around COVID, we're going to at least think about it. No, won't say that. Bruce Harrell's office says they have, at least as of what, a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, they said, we have no desire at this point yet to, or no announcements at this point to roll it back. That's so bizarre how all of this works. Now, if you want to help me shine a spotlight on this, because this is a giant failure on the part of the city of Seattle, text the keyword RANTZ, R-A-N-T-Z, to 1-800-465-8770. Text R-A-N-T-Z to 1-800-465-8770. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending at home?
Fog has been pretty relentless and thick over the course of the last, what, about week and a half? A little off and on during the week, but the weekends have been really, really bad. It's a result of having stagnant air. Now, the air quality itself, right now at least, is fine, but that could actually change.
The air quality is not too bad yet, but we might see it degrade over the next few days.
That's Mike McFarland talking with King 5 News. He's the meteorologist over at the National Weather Service. And he said that they are recommending that people hold off on any unnecessary burning because of the stagnant air.
If you have a fireplace and you heat with it, well, that's one thing. But if you just kind of do it, you know, for decoration, and maybe it's maybe for the next few days, skip it. It might not get too bad. But since we don't know for sure, and we do have a pretty strong inversion, yeah, we're asking people not to burn.
Okay, so all those homeless people, you're all good. Keep burning stuff. But everybody else who's in a home and maybe cold, You put on the heater. There's a whole bunch of air quality sensors across the I-5 corridor from Marysville down to Olympia, or I guess up to Olympia, depending on where you are. And it registered moderate air quality last night. This according to the Clean Air Agency's map. But throughout the region, it still remained quote unquote good. Now, the reason why King 5 points out moderate air quality is that could be unhealthy for people who are especially sensitive to this kind of thing. So snowflakes.
I mean, you're like a chronic asthmatic.
Yeah, and I'm fine.
Oh, okay. You are?
Yeah.
Didn't you just cough in the first hour? I meant to take that out of the podcast.
An air stagnation advisory is in effect until Wednesday. There will be very little wind because of, and they just say this as if this means anything, due to a dome of high pressure over the region, allowing fog to form and trapping pollution in low-lying areas. I get some of those words, but this whole thing about a dome, like in the under the dome?
Well, remember
like the
heat?
Book?
We had the heat dome,
mm-hmm.
Right? That was that whole...
Just say there's no wind to push the grossness away.
I mean, maybe they think that only way we can comprehend weather, because you can't see it, is if it was a dome.
Things that don't make sense.
Yeah, it's a dome. It's a heat dome.
Flights out of SeaTac saw some significant cancellations yesterday. And it's not so much the big planes. It's the little ones, the little tiny ones.
Now, naturally, the commercial flights that come in out of SeaTac can deal with the fog for the most part. The little guys, the puddle jumpers at the small airports, they're not going anywhere.
So they were stuck. Sorry, couldn't get back to, you know, San Juan Islands.
Coeur d'Alene.
You can get a big commercial plane. No.
No, they do the small ones.
That tiny?
Mm-hmm. The puddle jumpers, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like those little Horizon ones with the propellers?
Yeah, no, I know, whatever.
Fly those over to Montana? You can fly into Bozeman.
Take it to Portland sometimes.
Yeah, fly them to Portland. Those are awful.
I mean, that's just a godsend to not have to be on that stupid plane. Of all the planes, I'm not a nervous flyer. I like flying only if I'm in first class, and only because the people who walk by me, many of whom recognize me, will then say, oh, that's Jason. Ooh, snazzy. He must get really good money. It's true. And I like rubbing that in people's faces. But I don't like the actual flight.
You don't like flying?
Because I always think...
You just like the idea of Jason
Rance I like
being
the idea.
In first class and people texting
if,
in the back?
Before they're about to seal the plane shut, they say, if anyone wants to leave, you can go. I'd be like, okay, yeah, I serve my purpose. Whenever I'm in a plane, I feel the need to scream about us crashing, and I don't know why. Same way when I'm in an airport, I always feel the need desire in myself to scream bomb because we're not supposed to do any of that.
Yeah, you should get that checked out by like
I'm mentally unwell. I'm mentally unwell. So I don't necessarily like to fly, but I'm not getting on a puddle jumper. The very name of it indicates it's going to crash.
No, they're very uncomfortable.
Yeah. It's just the ones with the propellers on the side. Like, no. No. This is 2022. You give me a normal plane.
I flew on an Airbus 220 like 2 weeks ago, and boy, that was a comfortable ride.
The big one.
That was a good flight back from...
Right? How many rows?
Rows?
2-3-2 configuration?
It was just two on one side, three on the other, but it was brand new off the line, so I had all the... Off the digital
Still
screens.
Still had that smell.
You know, brand new seats and everything. It was a good plane. I'm also big on the 737 Maxes.
Going on and on about planes. No one cares
I've
about
rode the Max twice now, and
anyone cares that
it
on
should
a plane
have never went off of, you know,
he's talking
out of
this,
any of
this
these
the
airports.
First time he's ever been able
no,
to
it's not.
A
I enjoy these airplanes a lot. The 737 Max is a fantastic airplane.
Let me continue to talk about planes.
Two crashes and all of a sudden it's a big deal.
Like anyone cares about his hot takes. Are you done?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. If you missed me on the Faulkner Focus earlier this morning, I've got it posted over at youtube.com/JasonRants. That's where we post all of our videos. I'm booked on Varney and Company, I think, on Wednesday.
Oh, that's weird. I'm booked on Tuesday, so I'm just going to, you know, steal all the spotlight there because I'm going on Varney and Company.
Yeah, like any show would have, you know.
Lots of shows want producer Peyton.
Maybe
but,
on the Food Network.
But I say, oh, dream come true.
I know. Okay, push the button.
What's trending? The economy.
Fox 13 has this story out, and it's an interesting one in the sense that I don't think many people are thinking about the impact that the NFL playoffs, sans the Seahawks, might have on our local economy. But the good news is, according, at least anecdotally, a lot of businesses in the region are saying, hey, this is really good if you're a restaurant or a bar. People are really excited about the games. They're coming out to these bars and restaurants to watch it. Brittany is the manager over at The Dock, which I'm assuming is a bar or a bar restaurant.
You would assume right if you said bar.
Because of the context of which the story is presented. She says this is a welcome change to have actual customers.
I'm starting to feel like we're getting back to some semblance of normalcy. And it's not just survival anymore, it's thrival.
Thrival. So it went from barely surviving to now thriving. Now, obviously, not every business is going to be going through that. Kind of depends on your area. I imagine there are a lot of businesses in Sumas right now that are like, I am struggling. I'm not lucky enough in an unlucky way to be in Seattle. And you've got people like Tina Perry is her name. I put them all together, kind of.
Just a nice little nickname because you guys are old friends.
You got Tenny over there.
A couple of pals.
I call her TP. She got mad at me for saying that. I'm like, why? I think that that's a great name for you. After based on some of the hot takes you have, TP is a great, great name. I'm kidding. She's happy to be out there supporting local businesses.
You know, these are tough times, but nice to see people out and about supporting local restaurants and, of course, our economy.
Yeah, good for her. She's excited. And I started to think last night, imagine for a moment what this would be like, the economic benefits, if we had at least one team last season that didn't suck, right? Seahawks did not do well. Mariners did not do well.
Mariners over.
They did.
They outperformed.
Stop. They outperformed when everyone thought they wouldn't be able to make it to game three. I'm
they
not
had 90
counting.
Wins.
No, sorry. Excuse me. Did they make it to the playoffs? Then shut up.
The team that won the World Series, 88 wins.
Then,
Mariners had 90.
Oh, wow. That really paid off. Seahawks had a subpar season. Kraken suck. The other sports aren't real sports, so I'm not going to count on them. I'm not going to mention them. I don't even know how they did. I can't even remember the name of the Storm.
Storm, I think, went to the WNBA Finals. No, Ooh! No, no. They lost in the first round of the playoffs.
There you go. They had a subpar season as well then.
Yeah, it was disappointing.
So everyone did poorly. And we are looking at, you know, outsiders, right? Teams from not even in our neck of the woods going and I mean, I'm not counting San Francisco. Driving a lot of the business. Just think for a moment. This is why I support, even though I might not like the sport or I might not even like the team, but I'll go ahead and support local teams because of this. It helps businesses. And these are businesses, when you think about it, I mean, they're still in the world of having to ask people for ID. Now, generally speaking, you've got folks who are, at least in the Seattle area, supportive of this because they don't understand how this vaccine works or really doesn't. They don't understand COVID at all. So you got someone like Andrew saying this.
And just makes the environment more enjoyable because you know that it's trying to be, as much as it can, to be safe.
Except you're not doing everything you can to be safe. If you were truly concerned, and if you mean safe, presumably you mean putting yourself in a position where you can catch COVID, you would stay home. You would stay home if you were truly concerned. Pretending that going to a restaurant or bar or anywhere that requires people to be vaccinated is somehow protective means you've not watched the news in a long time or have a basic understanding of how the vaccine works. Like, not even a little bit. Because this vaccine does not protect against Omicron. Again, doesn't mean you shouldn't get the vaccine. But if you are now saying, I feel safe because I got vaccinated, well, you're not safe from COVID because you got vaccinated. If anything, I could argue that you're more likely to get COVID because you're hanging out a bunch of other people who don't understand how this works, letting their guards down, saying, oh, I'm protected. I'm going to lick this doorknob right here. And then they lick it.
Tasty
doorknob.
But also with
a little bit of a slurp. Because there might have been soup on it. I hope that was soup. So they're letting their guard down. You're more likely than I would love to see if there's a way to study that. I mean, obviously, if they were to study the true numbers of people who have the vaccine but getting COVID, they would not release that because the powers that be don't want to put anything out that might get people to distrust the vaccine. And again, I say that as someone who doesn't distrust the vaccine. I just know what it can and cannot do based on the data that we have. Could that data change? Yeah. Could it be different with other variants? Sure. Of course it can. But I'm not going to lie the way that Andrew is lying to himself or convincing himself, I'm safe. I got the vaccine. I'm not dirty like those people. I mean, sure, I also got COVID as a result, but still.
I don't think he's doing everything he can to be safe until he's in a Jake Gyllenhaal bubble boy bubble.
Ugh, even he would get COVID because it goes through the
plastic?
Yeah. I mean, the PAT plastic is not that. It's not like NASA grade.
Oh, it's cheap.
Ironically, got it from China and put it together. It's just a mess. Push the button.
What's trending? You can't make this up.
Robert Kennedy Jr. is a stupid person. He sometimes says things that make sense. He sometimes says things that are true. But he isn't just a conspiracy theorist. He's just not a very smart person. So I hope people, because he says certain things about vaccines or what, and even makes valid points about a mandate that's in place, doesn't mean that you give him an excuse for saying truly awful, dumb things, like saying the vaccine mandates are worse than what happened under the Holocaust.
Even in Hitler Germany, you could cross the Alps into Switzerland. You can hide in an attic like Anne Frank did.
Okay, he's saying that as if that's like a positive. Like, at least you can hide from the murderous Nazis who are trying to kill you for being Jewish. I mean, even then you were able to hide in an attic somewhere. Oh, gee, remember the good times. That's how he starts this dumb conversation.
I visited in 1962 East Germany with my father and met people who had climbed the wall and escaped. So it was possible. Many died doing it, but it was possible.
Wow.
Today,
glass half full.
The mechanisms are being put in place that will make it so none of us can run and none of us can hide.
But at least you still can run and hide, at least right now. I mean, sure, it wasn't like the good old days of escaping Nazis who were trying to kill you and were killing you, literally killing people, grabbing them and murdering them in broad daylight in full view of everybody. Oh, my God.
Within 5 years, we're going to see 415,000 low-orbit satellites. Bill Gates says his 65,000 satellites alone... Uh-huh. We'll be able to look at every square inch of the planet 24 hours a day. They're putting in 5G to harvest our data and control our behavior. Digital currency that will allow them to punish us from a distance and cut off our food supply.
Just enough to make you yearn for the good old days of Nazi Germany. That's his point. That's his point. That's what he said.
I can't believe how crazy.
What a remarkably stupid comment. Series of comments. You could have made all your same points as conspiracy theorists, you know, leading into conspiracy theory as a 5G. Okay. Okay. You, if you're concerned with that, okay, fine. Did you need to make the references to at least in Nazi Germany you could hide in attics?
Or jump over the Berlin Wall.
Oh, my God. Like, come on, man. Lunatic.
Yelp, Tacoma, Bremerton, Bothell.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Rant Show.
Redmond, Sumner, Kent.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at that, 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local, brought to you by Alpine Specialty Services at alpineclean.com. This is the part of the show where we completely ignore stories coming out of Seattle. And instead, we focus all of our attention on the communities you care about most, the ones you live in. And we start in a place that, if I'm being honest, not a lot of you live in. But it is hurting right now. City of Sumas. It's been more than, what, 2 months since a bunch of floods hit the community. Cairo 7 says local businesses aren't recovering, certainly not at the rate that they had hoped to. They're spending thousands and thousands of dollars that, frankly, they don't really have in order to repair the damage, only to reopen and find, oh, guess what? Our customers aren't returning. Nicole Postma is the president of the city's Chamber of Commerce. She's the owner of a shop called the Loco Loca Mocha. Ugh, it's a coffee stand.
It really took you a long time to say. It's just Loca Mocha.
Loca Mocha. The thing I find most of objectionable is the fact that it's a coffee stand. Those are never good. But I'm sure this one is the exception. Mostly because I feel bad for
them. I love coffee stands. That's so Seattle of you. Ugh. Everywhere else outside of Seattle. Everywhere that the Big Local touches loves coffee stands.
Yeah, well, I like good coffee and you guys have bad taste. But I'll give you a pass in this one because she says, it's actually King 5, excuse me, not Cairo 7. She says that the flooding just kind of really took a toll.
When the water came in, it was about a foot and a half. It got into every piece of equipment that wasn't high up on a shelf, everything was totaled.
So obviously, if everything is totaled, you're starting from scratch to rebuild your business. It took her over a month, mostly because, look, it's a stand. It's not a full-on shop.
We finally got the doors open with limited functionality, but only to discover that because there weren't all the residents living here, there was no one to serve.
So she finds herself in a really tough spot. People left. Some of it obviously has to do with the flooding, but some of it, a lot of it, has to do with the unnecessary extension of the border closures. Because remember, this is a border city. Their post office is closed. They're getting their mail diverted to Linden, about 20-minute drive. The only doctor's office there closed. They closed a teriyaki shop, a nail salon. They're hurting. And so really what they're saying is they need some help. They need some help from the state. Not just in the immediate, but they need it to do long-term flood prevention. Whatcom County Recovery Manager Kyle Christensen.
We all need hope right now, and a lot of that is getting that financial stability, knowing that that money is coming, so people are willing to invest back into the community. And there are solutions out there. We just got to get them that.
I always look at stories like this, and I have a lot of compassion for the folks who live there, but at the same time, I also wonder, what is the role of stepping up and saving a community when the community itself shouldn't really exist in that way? Meaning, you obviously know it's going to be rough when you have a city like Sumas. You can only do so much in that kind of city. And they're not outliers, right? There are lots of different cities that maybe want a little bit more than they are due just by the basic market functionality, and you know that that's going to fluctuate a little bit, that businesses go out because, hey, if you get hit by whether it's a man-made tragedy or something having to do with climate or, you know, a pandemic, you're going to suffer more than some other communities. So what is, where I struggle is, what is the level of responsibility coming from the state or from the feds to help out? We all have a basic level of we should be doing something because they're our neighbors. They're human beings and we want to help. They paid a ton of taxes over their lifetimes as business owners. We want to make sure that they're offered something for all of the money that they spent. But what is the number? How much are we supposed to rebuild? On a scale of 0%, meaning 1 to 10, or 0 to 10. 0 or 1, we do nothing. 10, we completely rebuild everything. And you get a shoulder massage afterwards. What is that number? And I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. But I know you can do too much and you can do too little. I guess that's why we have lawmakers that we pretend are much smarter than us making those decisions. Meanwhile, in Fife, according to Como TV, a woman was shot early this morning after she decided to chase down the suspect who took a car from outside of her home. Police say the woman and a man at the home were letting their vehicle warm up outside before leaving around 6:40 in the morning. It was cold. They wanted to have the car running a bit, get the heater running. And according to the police investigating, these two people looked outside of their home and saw someone stealing the car from the driveway. You literally left it on in front of a thief. Obviously, they didn't know the thief was nearby. So the guy drives off. They get in another car after they waited 20 minutes for it to warm up. They couldn't find the guy. No, I'm kidding. They got into their other car and they chased after this guy, the thief. When they caught up with the suspect and confronted him, he pulls out a gun, shoots the woman in the back and her side. She got two bullets in her. The suspect ditches the car, takes off on foot. Doesn't really make any sense to me. At that point, you might as well stay in the car. At least get some distance. You know 911 is being called. Nevertheless, no arrests have been made. I tell you the story only in so much as people have a tendency to want to be heroic, or they want to stand up for their property. Something I totally understand. Totally get it. But the reason why, generally speaking, unless you are in imminent danger, they don't want you, law enforcement officials don't want you chasing the danger, is because of this eventuality. You might get lucky and save the day, save your car, and arrest the bad guy. But generally speaking, they get away, with the added risk of they might be armed, and likely are, and you will get seriously injured. You're certainly justified from a moral standpoint in wanting your property back. Totally understand. But you shouldn't, because of things like this. Is this the anomaly? I don't know. Maybe. Do you want to risk getting shot in the back or your flank? No, probably not. Not for a car that you have to turn on 20 minutes before you leave. Right? I mean, let's also be honest about it. It doesn't mean that you're not going to suffer as a result of that, but you got to really put things in perspective. And then finally, there was a violent shoplifting attempt at the Nordstrom up in Linwood at the Alderwood Mall. Our sister station's Paul Holden for Cairo News Radio, he's got a report.
Linwood police tweeted that officers arrested a man and woman after the woman punched a Nordstrom employee in the face, and the pair threatened the employee with a gun during a suspected shoplift, then ran. The male suspect attempted to jump onto a moving car to escape, but both were taken into custody near Alderwood Mall. A handgun was recovered at the scene.
Sounds like he added that at the end. A handgun was found. This is, yet again, part of the trend toward just openly stealing things and feeling like you can get away with it. Why do they feel that? Because they do end up getting away with it. And the vast majority of the times, they get away with it. I posted video over the weekend. We'll talk about it tomorrow. But I posted video from a Target in the city we don't talk about during this segment. Within 12 minutes, there were two shoplifting attempts. After the guard told me it happens about every 10 minutes. I walk in. As I'm walking in, I walk past the elevators right at the entrance, and I don't know why, but I saw someone who caught my attention. And I think it was because he had the items in his hand. Usually if you've purchased something, you have them in a bag or a cart because you haven't paid yet. He had them in his hand. He tries to steal them, gets caught. I go upstairs 12 minutes later, same exact thing. Some security guard is approaching another person, also homeless like the first guy looked. And didn't go so well. So I've got the video up right now if you want to get a preview of that story. It's over at twitter.com/JasonRants. I also posted it on our Facebook page.
Why were you shopping there?
I wasn't shopping.
Do you frequent there?
No, I went there because I wanted to see how empty the shelves were.
Oh, I thought you were going to say because you wanted to see the crime every 10
minutes. Well, no, I did want to see all the crime, too. I didn't know it was happening every 50. I suspected it, obviously, because it's happening everywhere. It's happening in Lynnwood. I got video from a woman who was at a Marshall's in White Center. And she walked past this woman who was just putting all the clothes on her. She was just putting on clothes. She would talk about layering. She had like four jackets on, two hats, a bunch of bags and stuff. And she was very clearly stealing. And security wasn't doing anything. We talked about the law last show on Friday about how, well, you can't really even approach them until they leave the store. Woman just did it openly, brazenly, got into a car, sped off. I have the video of that as well. Like, this is happening all over the place because we have created a culture of lawlessness. The city, the county, the state, no matter where it is you live in Washington, you've got some Democrat leader who's basically said, yeah, it's all good. Cops are the enemies. We're not going to really punish anyone who breaks the law. We'll give, don't worry, restorative justice. Hashtag systemic racism.
Equity.
Equity. It's all being done in the sake of equity, and then this stuff happens on a regular basis. And of course, again, you're just one story away from this ending with some severe injury or death. That's the unfortunate reality. 1-800-465-877 if you want to send me a text. Welcome back to the Jason Rantz Show. Peter Ducey, the White House reporter for Fox News, continues to get under the skin of Joe Biden. President Biden gets upset when he's asked questions he doesn't like. Peter Ducey generally asks questions he doesn't like because Peter Ducey isn't in the business of just sucking up to this administration. If you want the suck up questions, you ask questions from whoever's there from CNN or MSNBC or ABC News, NBC News, CBS. The New York Times, The Washington Post, Jacobin Magazine. Literally anyone else will ask you the question that will make you happy, but Peter Ducey asked a question today that elicited quite the response that was caught on microphone from the president.
That's a great asset. More inflation. What a stupid son of a bitch.
So he must be tired because he slurred that. It's a valid question, and it was trying to get to the political implications of having inflation as high as it is. I mean, before, he was happy to pretend that inflation was transitory, and he got questions. They're like, oh, no, I'd love to take it. Don't worry, it's transitory. It's going away. It's all good. Don't worry. Kudos. Thumbs up. But now that's very clear that it's not going anywhere. Now that's very clear that there is a huge problem. It very clearly has political implications. So if they do, what are you doing about it? What do you think those implications will be? Here's your opportunity to say, actually, there shouldn't be any implications politically during the midterms. Here's why. But instead, you get that response, which is funny. Right. Ducey himself is having fun with it. He was on The Five and he was asked about it. He laughed it off. He said he hasn't seen a fact check yet to whether or not he really, truly is an SOB. Jesse Waters said, it's true. You're an SOB. They're at least having fun with it. And I don't think he minds. But what's always curious is to see how the other media outlets react. There was this whole thing about the war on the media. From Donald Trump, making our lives more dangerous, even when he criticizes us in reasonable ways that most people would actually agree with. But you're not allowed to do that. And how dare you? How dare you use any kind of vulgarity against a member of the press? That is an attack on one is an attack on us all. I haven't really seen anything from Brian Stelter yet. Certainly possible he tweeted something recently and I missed it. I tend to ignore him. I can't look at what Oliver Darcy, his little partner in crime over at his weekend show, is saying because he blocked me on Twitter. Put that on the list of people who blocked me, Oliver Darcy. He might actually be on the list. So I don't know if they've said anything, But I can tell you that if it was Donald Trump that did this, this would be leading news for CNN. In fact, ironically, Donald Trump is leading news right now on CNN.com. Grand jury to probe Trump's effort to overturn Georgia election results. They are obsessed. Obsessed. But all we get is just a news story on the... It's not even a written news story. It's just a video where they're saying, oh, a reporter was told this. And I'm sure they say, well, you know what? It's wrong. But, you know, I mean, it was a stupid question. And he is an SOB. That's the kind of nonsense you get from CNN. That's the kind of nonsense you get when they're not attacking Donald Trump, when they're not talking exclusively about the January 6th committee that no one cares about. They attack Fox News because Fox News is the number one cable news network. And the funny thing is, CNN should be turning their ire towards MSNBC. That's the direct competitor. MSNBC, not CNN. CNN is occupying the same ideological space as MSNBC. Now, granted, they pretend that they're not a liberal network. Come on. Who's dumb enough to think that it's nonpartisan? Seriously, who thinks CNN is down the middle, straight news? It used to be a while ago. Not to say there weren't moments of bias. Human beings are biased. You're going to have to deal with that. But they just went all in being the anti-Trump network. Now they're just the anti-Republican network. They're doing what MSNBC is doing, except they're doing it worse because in part, they lie about what they do. And they're kind of just insufferable about it. It's something about the lying about what you're doing and then getting all upset that someone might dare to question the work that you're doing. MSNBC is all like, yeah, that's totally what we do. We're totally anti-Trump. We're totally anti-Republican. We lean in. Literally, at one point, was their logo, their motto. We lean in. And that's why I think they do it better. Not that I watch MSNBC. I can't stomach it. But they certainly do it better. So if you are occupying the same space and you are doing better, MSNBC is doing better than CNN from a ratings perspective, go after CNN. Why are you going after Fox? It's super bizarre. It's not a sports league. I'm not trying to become the number one at that point. I'm trying to become number two first. It's bizarre. Oh, well. It is. I mean, it was funny though, right?
It was really funny.
I like hot mic moments.
It's the best.
They really are, because it's like, oh, so now we know how you feel. Because before, I couldn't tell that you didn't like Steve Ducey.
Until we get caught on a hot mic, then it's tough.
I will never get caught on a hot mic. You're listening to The Jason Rancho. Stop screwing up all the time. Keep doing it. Stop.